Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
To center ice. Stopped by Roman Josi. Josi flips it in. Over to the left wing side. That shot, Rittich didn't hold the rebound. Rebound comes out now. Out at the left point, it is Ellis. In that left circle. The shot flipped right on, and the score! How hot is this guy? How hot is the man they call Bones? Here is Sissons after the drop pass. Comes back for Watson. To Sissons and Watson, he scores! They never gave up on the play. Sissons and Watson had the first chance. Then the second chance was all they needed. And trying to go out to the blue line, stolen away. Predators have it 2-on-1. Yarncroke takes the pass. His shot, he scores. Austin Watson set him up. Predators tally shorthanded. The puck was tipped there. Diving to tip it out. Here come the Predators 2-on-1. Yarncroke with Josi. Yarncroke scores. Kelly Yarncroke. Two shorties in one game. And folks, are you ready for dessert? Bonino for Ekholm. 2-on-2. Sissons. And that's it. Austin Watson puts it home. Monahan for Lindholm. Over to the right side. Given trying to go right at the front, and they score, and they tie it up. Backlund got a feed off to the left of Pekkarinen. And with 38.4 to go, folks, I hope you took the overs. It's a 5-5 game. To the left board, curling across. Now the high slot shot stopped. And the rebound put in by Tkachuk. Tkachuk picked up a rebound and fired it in over Pekkarinen. And the Flames win it overtime, 6-5.
Hold on. No.
Welcome to the show.
That didn't happen. That did not happen.
Yes.
5-4. That did not happen. I purposely said, you know what?
Good Friday, everybody.
I said, you know what? It's 4-1. This game, I'm turning it off. I'm going to bed. I expected to walk in.
Ooh, that's like a Stillman tweet.
I expected to walk in 5-1. Pecker, you know, Predators win. Pecorino has another great night. You know, they improve their record.
Mm-hmm.
They dominate.
Wait. You're telling me just now you're...
That's it.
You just now learned?
Yes, that they lost. I went to bed.
Oh, I thought you were genuinely excited early. Over the fact, because you just, as we're playing the montage, D-Mace is jumping around smiling because Pete Weber makes a gambling reference. I hope you took the over.
That's what I thought you were
saying. No, I heard that.
Oh, okay.
No, that's what I thought. When he said, I hope you took the over, I'm like, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, Nick reacted because he just gets very aroused when other grown men talk about gambling.
Yes.
See, this is the problem. I'm sorry, Nick, because I know you love to bring it in and kind of set up the show.
Oh, I thought you were setting up a gambling reference. I was like, hey, go be my guest.
I know.
But this is
like, man, what, Mason's fired up.
This is what I guess. This is what's going to be the problem here, from here on out, is that when the Predators get up 4-5-1, you think, okay, it's done. Let me turn off television.
Yeah,
it's time to go to bed.
That's what Stillman tweeted yesterday.
Yeah, it's time to go to bed.
Stillman thought it was over 10 minutes in.
Oh, man.
It was 2-0. He started sweeping the games over, and now he's getting roasted.
Yeah. Then I'll wake up, come to the show, and this is, wow. 6-5.
Yeah, they scored 4 goals in the third period.
Team looked like they were dead in the water.
I will admit that at 4-1, going into the third, I was dealing with a crazed lunatic of a 3-year-old who was never up past 7 o'clock, got to watch a little hockey, and was hopped up on as much chocolate as she could stuff into her pie hole in like a 10-minute period of time. I'm serious, guys. She probably stuck 15 or 16 pieces of candy in her mouth back to back. She wasn't even finishing the one before to get to the next one. So she'd spit it out and like she's like, oh, I need to try another one. And it was she was so hopped up on sugar. So by the time the second period rolls around and it's 4-1, we've got damage control we've got to take care of. So I kind of mute the TV and go into the other room and start doing stuff to get the kid ready for bed and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I open up Twitter like 45 minutes later, and it's 5-5, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. And they scored 4 goals in the third period, and I don't think a single player was very happy after the game.
No, I mean, really, nor should
very
you be.
Very upset. No, I totally agree.
I mean, you blew that lead, and I watched a majority of that game. I got in from trick-or-treating about 6 minutes into the first period, so there's about 14 minutes to go. Predators had a 1-0 lead, I believe, at the time. It was right before the second goal. And I don't know from watching that entire game last night if it was the Predators took their foot off the gas, if the Flames just didn't give in, or if it's a combination of both. But you lose that in that fashion. Look, in a long season, you're going to lose games. But the way you lost that game, and in my lifetime of watching either the Flyers or the Preds, I don't think I've ever seen a buzzer beater. I mean, they literally scored with no time on the clock to win the game, and it was like giving up a touchdown as the clock expires. It was like Kawhi Leonard hitting a three-pointer against the Sixers in Game 7 against the buzzer. Yeah. I don't think I've ever watched a hockey game live buzzer beater.
Two seconds on the clock officially. It was 4 minutes, 58 seconds of overtime. So officially 2 seconds to go. But also, you know, Tkachuk scoring both of the goals. But he also scored the game-tying goal with, what, 39 seconds to go in the game? So they scored in the final minute of regulation and overtime to win that game.
We just talked about them playing arguably their best game against the Blackhawks, where it just seemed like from offense, defense, power play, all the shifts, it was just a complete game. Pecorine was awesome in the net. The score should have been 20-0, but instead it was 3-0. And they played a complete game. This, up until this point, and they got, you know, 60-something more games left, I believe, 70-something more games left. But this has to be the worst defeat they've had all season.
It's not even close.
Yeah. You're up 4-1 going into the third period.
At home.
At home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like being down, you know, being up 21 points in the fourth quarter,
basically,
and then losing, losing the game in overtime.
And I know, Pete Weber made the gambling reference there, and you know, hopefully you took the over and goals scored, but boy, I'll wager on the Preds from time to time, and I'll tweet it out. Hey, I'm on the Preds tonight, and boy, if you bet on the Predators last night, you're probably sitting back in your chair, 4-1, cracking a beer. Up, yep, got myself a winning bet. That's a tough way to lose a bet. That's a Scott Van Pelt bad beat.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. This is one they will remember. This is one that, you know, you don't put in a bag and just, you know, put in the trash. This is one you look at.
You got to hold on
and,
to it
and you
bit.
Study because it's an epic breakdown. You gave up, you know, 5 goals. It's a team effort, whether it be the goalie or the guys in front of them. 5 goals in what, 20 minutes? Yeah. Man,
we'll definitely continue. We'll do some more Preds in the next segment, but let's get to a couple of other things. Last night, A, trick or treating, B, a pair of football games. Can I just say that I love this city? Can I just say that I love the South?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I go trick or treating, and we get to like the 7th house. We go around a corner, up through a cul-de-sac. And we're going down the hill, and the lady's giving out candy, and she's got her garage open, and she's got her 2 cars in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And the back wall of the garage was painted LSU.
Yeah.
I almost,
yes.
Like, part of me said, God bless you, I love you. The other part of me was like, as a Bama dad, I almost wanted to hold my kid back and be like, you know, we're not going here, honey. We got business to take care of in a couple of weeks.
We don't take candy from those people.
That is right. Let's go elsewhere.
Oh, wow.
G-E-A-U-X. Yeah,
let's go.
Boo.
That was my trick or treat.
Boo. No, I live in East Nashville, and they had a couple of streets blocked off where they have, like, no, they close off the road for traffic, so there's no cars, which is really nice. And, like, everybody from all the surrounding streets kind of goes in. There's one house, though, that's like 2 houses down from us that is so intense. I'm talking about a dude standing at the driveway perfectly still in like a black Grim Reaper costume holding like a head in a basket on a chain, like dangling, and he stands perfectly still so that you think he's not real. And there's like three other characters like in the driveway that are standing there like around a corn maze and stuff so that you think they're all just like you know, like dolls or whatever, right? Like, I don't know, like some animatronic thing or whatever. And you walk up and they let you like walk between them and around them, and then they all start moving towards you because they're all just people. And the kids just lost it. Like, it just, people, we could hear people screaming from our front porch, like from a couple houses down. It's intense in our neighborhood. But the girls loved it, and they collected their first second for Marin and first for Bennett. The baskets of candy, got home, dumped it on the table, had a field day just shoveling it into her mouth. And you know, after that, it was just hold on for dear life at home. Mommy and Daddy were trying to keep the house, keep the house intact as the until the sugar wore off.
Mace, how was Halloween in your neck of the woods? People giving out BMWs?
I wish. No, it was cool.
How many people come to the door?
I don't know. It was, you know, because my neighborhood is it's not a big neighborhood. It's not really. It's I guess it's small relative to the other neighborhoods around me. So, you know, either, you know, you got a few kids coming in. I don't know if all the kids were in the neighborhood kids or not too many people. I don't think too many people are going to come outside of my neighborhood and come in because.
Did you make sure your porch light was off?
You can't get in.
Yeah, it's a gated community.
No, my porch light was on.
Did anybody come to knock?
Yeah.
Did you give out stuff?
Oh, of course. Oh, okay. The last couple of years, I love giving out candy. I really do. I had my bucket on the table, and the dogs were at the front door, just sitting at the front door. And, you know, I'm watching some scary movies in the game. At the time, I was watching a hockey game, because right after that, I think the third
quarter, second,
I went to bed. After like nine something, I went to bed. But I had my bag of candy, a little bowl of candy at the door. Opened up the door. Trick or treat. Couple of kids fell inside the door because they were so close. Like, dur, 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 dur. I'm like, oh, get up, little man, get up. But I don't think you get a lot of people in my neighborhood because on where I'm at, you got to go up a hill to get to my house. It's a driveway.
Right.
You got to, and going up that driveway, I know, you know, some kids
kids are not going to do that.
Yeah, but you have some kids, you know, the parents would be riding around that golf cart, drop them off, and the kids are running.
Check
that tree, smell my feet. La, 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 la. And then you pass out the candy.
What kind of universe you live in where you're driving your kid around in a golf cart to go trick or treating?
Hey, man,
I'm so wealthy. My kid went trick or treating in a golf cart.
Hey, I worked hard to live in that neighborhood.
I know you did. And not just like a golf cart. It's probably one of those that has like the fake Cadillac on the front with
and
stuff.
Because they, you know, they golf right there on the golf course. So they
I got to get on that course.
It's just regular golf carts. And,
I know.
You know, the kids. But it's funny. And it's cool and it's funny. And it kind of takes you back to when you were a kid. It's like, and then some kids is like, some kids reach in and grab a whole bunch. And then the parents are like, no. And I'm thinking like, no, take it all, please.
Yeah, really.
Grab it all. So
what do you say? That's what's interesting. Because I have a lot of parents come to the door last night. They're like, I'll just take one only. And I'm kind of like, No.
I'll take more.
Get all of it, because if you leave it here, I'm going to end up eating it.
Exactly.
And
I'm like,
no,
take more.
But do you have to ask the parent, like, hey, is it okay if I give more?
No, you just say take more.
The parent doesn't want the kid to take more, right? You know what I mean? Like, you have to be respectful with the parents asking the kid
to
do too.
No, because my thing is this. They will monitor it once they get to the house.
That's true.
You
That's
know,
good
they'll
point.
Say, oh, my little Joey, little Becky, you can't have
Becky
this.
And Joey.
You know?
I
had God. It's like,
look,
take it all.
At the size of her candy.
It's like, take it all. And I had the little candies. So
look at her butt.
And then one kid came up and said, hey, Kevin Dyson's my, he's my principal. They weren't talking about me. They were like, hey, you know Kevin Dyson. He's my principal. He know you. I was like, yeah, Kevin and I. And then they started asking a whole bunch of questions. This was the funniest thing, though, before I get to it. Because the first kid that came, I forgot to turn off my alarm because I usually just put on an alarm when I get in the house. So I forgot to turn off the alarm.
Wait. You turn, like, when you're just at the house?
Yeah,
I
turn my alarm as soon as I get in the house.
How scared are you?
It ain't about it. Listen, this is what I say. People always say, well, why do you do this? I say, no, this is where they come to break in houses. They don't go to the other neighborhood.
Yeah, but
they,
not when a lot you're of people, home, though.
It doesn't matter. This is where they come.
The professionals wait till the people are out.
This
of the
is
house.
Where they come. So I turn my alarm on as soon as okay. I get in the house. I don't want nobody sneaking in the back window or nothing, and I don't hear it. So if they open up that back window, it's going off. Okay.
Note to self: don't rob Derek Mason when Derek Mason is at home,
or when I'm gone either, because I see you. So. I'm at the door and my alarm's going off, but the little kids in front of me, it's, you know how I say beep, 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 beep.
They're
and
terrified.
Then it gives you timed. And I'm sitting here, I'm talking to the kid. He don't hear it. He don't hear that it's kind of warning me, like, turn off the alarm, turn off the alarm. He doesn't hear me because he's just rambling. And I'm listening like, yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right. And I'm thinking like, kid,
dude, I gotta go.
Leave. But I don't want to be rude to the kid. Yeah. So no. I let him finish his, what he got to say. And then I say, hey, see. Close the door. I get the door. That thing said, the dog's looking at me like, man, are you damn crazy? So I had to run and turn off the alarm. Hopefully the alarm people didn't call. I'm looking at it. Please don't call.
I'm still tripping off the fact that you have people riding around in golf carts. I had to walk blocks and blocks on trick-or-treat, and now you got people riding golf carts.
Oh, yeah, they do it. Yeah.
I can imagine.
The parents, not the kids. The kids don't ride in the golf carts.
So after the kids take the candy, they basically were just like,
take care.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Well played.
Give me a break.
Jesus.
That's I love ridiculous. It. I love it.
You set that up gorgeously.
I love it.
I do want to say, just to give you some, because I care about you, Derek, and, and to give you some peace of mind, anybody that is capable of breaking into a house of your caliber is not coming while someone is there. They know your schedule, and they're breaking in right now.
Yeah.
They're breaking in right this
they
second.
They don't know my schedule.
Right about now, Mr. Mason is talking Nashville Predators hockey. Let's go through the back door.
Professionals case the joint. They know your daily schedule. And I'm just going to make everyone feel better about themselves real fast.
As soon as they hear the wake-up call, it's like, all right, time to go.
Crowbar's up.
See, they can't get in. That's the problem.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure your house is very well protected. I will say this, turning into a father and having kids that now are a little bit older to go do this, I will say that it is a little nostalgic, and I get like way more into talking to the other little kids now, which is something I never would have ever considered. Like, I feel like an old dad being really cheesy that I'm like talking about their, hey, well, what are you? You know, like you're doing the whole cheesy dad thing, and I'm like, man, I really enjoyed this.
So, why, well, then you and I have got to be like complete opposites.
Why did I really enjoy this for the first time in my life?
You're talking to other kids. I don't even want to talk to the other parents.
Well, I don't want to talk to the parents.
Like
I
last night, I swear to God, my wife's talking to our girls, the other girls, their parents, and I'm just there like walking along, looking at my phone, scrolling through Twitter.
See, you're talking about when they're tweeting or when they're trick-or-treating, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, so in our neighborhood, there's no time for that. You're up to the door and you're back. There's no time to even have a communication. But at our house, when they came to our door, I was far more invested in like, you know, there's three little kids there. Like, I'd put on a show. Like, my wife's like, hey, you got to be more festive. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm like, happy Halloween. What are you, little boy? And it's like, I felt like
what so cheesy. Are you turning to Santa?
I know. I felt so cheesy about it. But then I got into it, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm so old and boring. Like, I'm really into trying to make these little kids' afternoon, like, a really nice thing and a fun experience. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then I realized how old and boring I was.
Yikes. All right, coming up next, we're going to get back into the Predators because another contract was handed down mid-game last night. David Poile just giving out years, just giving out money. Give it away, give it away, give it away. We're back after this on Morning Drive.
Yeah, extremely. It's a special day for me and my family. You know, obviously at points last year there, I wasn't really quite sure of, you know, where my career was going or if it was going to continue. To have some job security here, just super grateful for you know, the organization, the guys. We've been through, or I've been through a lot, and they've been through a lot with me. So you know, this is definitely a good day.
That was Austin Watson last night post game in the dressing room after the 6-5 loss. But hey, Austin Watson's got nothing to feel bad about because last night he put up 4 points, 2 goals, and 2 assists, and the big news coming down during the actual broadcast of the game that the Predators and Austin Watson sign a 3-year, $4.5 million contract, and clearly that's not a major contract when you put it right next to Roman Josi's, but as Watson alluded to there in that clip, I mean, over the last year, year and a half, he certainly had plenty of issues, a lot of personal demons. And I would just guess, I would tend to assume he's righted the ship in his personal life and he gets rewarded.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it speaks volumes And it tells me that the organization trusts you, trusts where you're at, trusts that you are using all the resources, trusts that you are doing the things necessary to keep you on the path of, you know, staying right and making sure everyone and everything around you is right. So, you know, kudos to the Predators because, you know, this time last year, I think everybody was unsure what was going to happen. And that's not a good, you know, as a player, that's not a good place to be in because, you know, it's not just you that you're worried about. It's your family. You know, if he's a single man or if he doesn't have a, you know, a wife or a girlfriend or, you know, someone that he's been with for a long time that, you know, he's sharing a life with, when you don't have that, you tend to look at things a little bit different. But when you have other people that depend on you, your kids, your wife, and you're in a situation like that, man, it can be nerve wracking. It can be something that you go home every day and think about, not having that security. So, you know, kudos to the Predators because they believe in what Austin Watson is doing. It's sort of this redemption story for him. And you just hope that he continues to do the things necessary to keep him in a place where, you know, first and foremost, his family's happy and then, you know, that he's happy and the team is happy with him.
Well, and, you know, the issues within the family are obviously well documented, so we don't need to kind of go down that path. But the family, that's up to them to decide, right, how they handle each other and what they do moving forward. Just talking hockey, he provides a skill set that they don't really have a lot of, which is a big physical body standing in front of the net. And so on the ice, they don't have a lot of that. I echo your sentiments, Derek, on – you know, standing by a guy because clearly he and his significant other both had a lot of, you know, issues they needed to work through on this, just to make sure that they are heading, like you said, it's not nerve wracking necessarily about the money. It's nerve wracking like every day dealing with your own personal issues, right? So to come through it this however many months later now, and to be trusted enough to be given a 3-year $5 million, essentially a $5 million. I know it's $4.5 million, which is $1.5 million a year, but like. You know, someone basically is giving you $5 million to play hockey. There's a lot of trust there in that, and you have to be prepared for that and understand. I'm also assuming that comes with a lot of catches. I'm assuming that the contract and the issues, there's a lot of you need to do this, you need to clear this, you need to make sure you're doing this. There's going to have to be a lot of oversight, and that makes total sense as well. So give both sides credit. Give Austin and his family credit for working through whatever they've got to work through and to be better for it, hopefully. And the Preds credit for sticking by a guy that could rehab, essentially, right? And, mm-hmm. and be better off. And, again, that's all really complicated off the ice stuff. That's just – it's hard for people that are not in the middle of it to truly understand it and to comment on it. But on the ice, he provides something that they don't really have. And he played very well last night, of course. And scored a bunch of goals. So it's something they don't have, which is a 6'4", you know, stand in the dirty areas and do all the dirty work. That's what he doesn't mind doing that, and they don't have a lot of those guys.
All right, before we transition to football, we're going to get to the Titans in the 7 o'clock hour. Big one against the Panthers. Josh Wirt will join us next. A couple of quick thoughts on both games last night. I'll go on the pro front. I mean, the 49ers 8-0, it wasn't pretty. They win by 3. Arizona's not a great team. But I'm telling you right now, I just love the way the 49ers play football. I love the way they're built.
Can I throw one more Pred stat at before we talk about the 49ers? This was Jay, a friend of mine actually, he's a friend of the show, Jay Levin on Twitter, tweeted this to Rex Road last night, and they were talking about this. Mika Salamaki did not play last night. Let me just throw this out there.
I didn't even notice.
Let me just throw. Yeah, but you might need to.
I wasn't on Mika watch.
You want to know why? In the 8 games that he has not played in,
they're winless.
The 8 games he's not. Well, no, they're like 8-3-2.
Oh.
In the 8 games. In the 8 games he has not played in this year, they've given up 33 goals. So that's more than 4 per game. In the 8 games he's not played in, the 5 games Mika Salamaki has played in, they've given up 5 goals. That's 1 per game.
So he's the MVP of the team.
I'm not suggesting that Mika Salamaki is the reason.
He's the Dennis Rodman of the team.
But that is that's four and some change goals per game. They gave up five. It's the first game he hadn't played in a little while. He didn't play last night. They gave up five goals.
So the next time we rank our top five Preds, Mika might crack the five.
I'm just saying from now on, I'm going to keep track of the goals against average when Mika's playing and when Mika's not playing.
Get
I'm
him
just
in
saying
a game.
It's worth, get it's worth monitoring.
Get him in a game, damn it.
See?
There we won't. Salamaki.
There
we
you go.
Want Salamaki.
That's Stillman's boy.
Yeah.
I'm more like a prosciutto guy, but it's fine.
Yeah, a little capicola?
Yeah, I like those spicy. Yeah, spicy capicola. Yeah.
I love all the good Italian meats. Yeah. It's the only reason I lived in Philadelphia.
I don't think Salamaki's
my
Italian.
My pores were clogged.
Yeah, it's God, the meats are delicious in Philadelphia.
So real quick, anything I know you noticed something on the college front.
Yeah, I just thought the stand was you got a 7-0, you're Baylor, you're 7-0. I know Waco's not a huge city, and it's not a huge fan base. There's only 42,000-43,000 seats in that stadium last night. I just don't understand if you're a fan of a college football. Like, why did you not go to watch your favorite team play? I know it's a holiday, so I know the holiday affects kids and everything. Weeknight, okay, I get it. But your team is 7-0. The entire upper deck was almost all empty last night for Baylor, West Virginia. It was a close game. I just don't understand. Like, as your team gets better, there's only, like, nine teams that are undefeated right now in college football. If your team is 7-0, why would you not go watch your team play?
Yeah,
I don't understand. Listen, we rip on Vandy fans, right? And we'll give Vandy fans a hard time for not showing up and selling their tickets to Georgia fans and whatever. But if Vanderbilt was 7-0 this weekend, I have a feeling there would at least be people at the stadium. Like, I'd like to believe. And Baylor's been good in the past. It's not like they've been 5-7 for the last 20 years. Like, they've been competing for conference titles. So I know they had their whole scandal and everything, but. Upper deck completely, almost all empty on a 7-0 team against West Virginia, who's had really good games against Baylor. I just thought that was a bad look. I don't know.
Okay. 615-737-1025, the number. You can always tweet the show. Follow us at Twitter on Twitter at 1025_MD. We will come back and send it up to Knoxville. Our buddy Josh Ward from WNML will join us. We'll get you set for the Vols and UAB next on Morning Drive. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise as we send it up to Knoxville and welcome in our buddy Josh Ward from WNML. Josh, how you doing, pal?
Yeah, good morning. How are you guys?
Good to have you in. So, wanted to ask you from this standpoint with this game coming up, I feel like this week is all about how the Tennessee Volunteers handle success and prosperity coming off of a huge win against South Carolina. I'm very curious to know how they approached practice this week. What was their mindset for preparation? Because you can't sleep on UAB. They're 6-1. I really want to see how they come out this week and see if they can build off of last week. Is that a storyline or a theme that you're kind of watching this week?
I think it's a big one this week. The biggest storyline may have been quarterback situation, just because of the injuries with Brian Maurer and Jerry Garantano getting hurt this past week. But big picture with the team, yeah, I think it's how Tennessee handles its recent success with getting wins against Mississippi State and South Carolina, and everybody starting to feel a lot better about things, but still Tennessee having a lot to do in the month of November. Tennessee still has to go 3-1 to get to a bowl game, which I think it should be able to do. But if it messes around against UAB, the Georgia State game did happen this season. And players talked about that this week, that the Georgia State game was a wake-up call, and how could it not be, but that should help them. This was early in the week. That should help them get prepared for this UAB team, which should be a better opponent or a tougher opponent than Georgia State was. So with a team that's a little banged up, Tennessee's dealing with some injuries up front on the offensive and defensive lines. I think they were a little bit lighter in physical preparation on the practice field, but in terms of meetings and the discussion leading up to the game, Tennessee was not close to being prepared as it should have been for the Georgia State game. I think that will be different this weekend.
Talking about the lines of scrimmage, Josh, how do you feel about the progress that both lines of scrimmage have made over the course of the season?
They're definitely better. Tennessee has gone into the most recent games where they've been able to at least hold their own, and there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. I think on the offensive line, what's really helped is that Brandon Kennedy has become a solid player for them at center, and Trey Smith has continued to take steps to play at a high level at guard, and that has helped there with the interior as they've, until this past weekend, been able to stabilize a five the last few weeks. They dealt with some injuries. Darnell Wright had to go out, and I think there's a good chance he doesn't play this week, but they did get Riley Locklear back. He's a veteran. Jameer Johnson has been kind of in and out, but they're better at shuffling guys around because I think they're deeper with that position group. I can't say that they're a top half of the league offensive line, but they're not dreadful like they were a year ago, and that can make a big difference with the offense. Tennessee took some shots down the field last week because I think they felt comfortable that the offensive line would be able to protect against a South Carolina defense that has some solid guys up front. On the flip side, Tennessee's defensive line has clearly improved in its ability to create pressure. You know, Daryl Taylor's playing at a high level, and he wasn't at the beginning of the season. He called himself out after the first month of the season. He's played better since then. But also players like Matthew Butler, Kevon Bennett, they've stepped up and been able to cause more problems as well for opposing offenses, which, you know, that probably goes, there's probably a correlation there with what they're doing and what Daryl Taylor's able to do. They get Latrell Bumpus back, it looks like, this week, and he's a guy that's developed as the season has gone along. So I think it's a numbers game. At the beginning of the season, there were a lot of guys to talk about, but we didn't know how many could actually play effectively. Now a lot of those guys are contributing more and playing at a higher level for Tennessee.
Now, looking at the three quarterbacks, and I know Jerry Garantano, he was playing well until he broke his non-throwing wrist last week, and I assume that, you know, he's not going to take any snaps this week based upon his injury. But put the injury aside, if you look at the three quarterbacks, I know Brian Maher would have probably more than likely been a starter, but take away that Alabama play. And if Garantano was healthy, is he the starter? Because he still, to me, he still gives you the best opportunity to win.
Yeah, he might be. I think it would be him or Maurer with both of them planning to play. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a weird month at quarterback for Tennessee, not just because of what happened in September and then Jarrett Garantano loses his job, but you know, Maurer started three games and had to leave each game because of injury. And then Garantano, he didn't start this past week, but he was almost the starter because of the way that he played and how much he was in the game. He has to leave for injury. It's four straight weeks that Tennessee has lost a player at that position because of injury, and you know, not really because of the offensive line in this case, but last week maybe. But you know, with Garantano, you're right. The Alabama play is a big one. It got so much attention last week. But overall, Garantano's play at quarterback has been much better. Not elite, but he's taken care of the football. Those odd interceptions that he was throwing in September, he has not done this month. He was nearly perfect against Mississippi State. He hit some big plays against South Carolina. He was able to help Tennessee drive down the field against Alabama and didn't play much against Georgia. So Garantano's been much better the last month. He's been much closer to what Tennessee thought he would be back in August before the season began when Jeremy Pruitt was saying we have one starter and that's a quarterback. And that's why it's a shame that he suffers that hand injury, because I think Jeremy Pruitt has found confidence again in what Jarrett can do within the offense. And then, yeah, I don't think he's playing this week. If it is, it's probably an emergency situation, which they might have to be prepared for considering how the last few weeks have gone. But I think they want to give him some more time to get that hand healed up. And then depending on how the freshman quarterbacks play, Maurer and JT Shrout, we'll see what Garantano's role could be in the final 3 weeks of the season.
Josh, when Juwan Jennings' playing days are over for the Tennessee Volunteers, when he returns to Knoxville, is he ever going to have to pay for a meal again?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. He's one of the guys where if it's 2 years from now, with the name, image, likeness stuff gets figured out, he would be finding some opportunities as a current player. The level of legend, I guess, with Juwan just continues to grow. And yeah, for him, let's see what he does in the final month, because he was incredible this past Saturday. He's doing a number of things. I think he's a great story with where he was in his life 2 years ago and the impact he's made since then for Tennessee's football program, and then just the development that he's made. So fans love him, and they should. The way that he plays is how fans, I think, hope all players will go out there and play the game. And if Tennessee is able to get to the postseason this year and if the program's able to take off over the next couple of years, fans are going to continue to look back at Juwan's performance this year and say he was a big part of it. And that's, of course, building on the Hail Mary catch against Georgia, the catch against Florida a few years ago. He has a number of big-time plays that fans are going to be talking about for a long time.
Josh, give me the final four games here and tell me what you think happens, and how does maintaining this momentum is the most important thing for Jeremy Pruitt. So what do the last four games look like?
Yeah, it really is. Tennessee has two on the road, two at home. The ones at home, they just have to win. They have to beat Vandy at the end of the season, and they have to beat UAB this upcoming weekend. I think that's pretty obvious. And then I would say that the likely scenario is that you split with Kentucky and Missouri. Missouri's won all season. I've been saying, yeah, you're probably just not going to get that one. Now let's see where Kelly Bryant is physically. Let's see what happens after they play Georgia and Florida. I have said this week I think 7-5 is more likely than 5-7. Am I prisoner of the moment, though? Very, very possible. I think Kentucky's going to be a little tougher than fans might expect. The Wildcats are off this week. So to me, that might actually be the tougher of the remaining four, which I didn't necessarily expect to be the case. So I think 3-1 is probably your most likely scenario just with how things play out. Tennessee needs to take care of business this weekend. If that's the case, I think that'll be a sign that Tennessee mentally is good to go in the final three SEC games. You get to a bowl game, 6-6 would not be what fans wanted back in August, but at the end of September, they would have absolutely taken it, and you can build on that heading into 2020.
Josh, great insight as always. We appreciate the time. We'll chat again next Friday.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
You got it. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. We'll stay on the college front when we come back. Elimination game, the cocktail party, next on Morning Drive. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, we'll get to the big one, an elimination game in the SEC East.
Along the lines of the of Bone there, November 1st, boys, college football is different in November. Just want to point out. Last month of the regular season.
Are we sure it's November 1st this morning, though? Feels like January 1st.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be colder in Philly?
It feels like Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah. It's which I'm not happy about.
Okay. I thought Nick was going to come in here in a Scully jacket.
It's going to be in the 50s in November today. I don't really know if you can complain too much. But anyway, point is that it's November, and college football gets real in November. And so the calendar has turned. So happy November, everybody. The first of the month, of course. That means college football is real. And along the lines of Tennessee, we'll get to Florida and Georgia in just a second. Real quickly on Tennessee, you've built momentum. You've built optimism. You've built hope over the last month if you're Jeremy Pruitt and the Tennessee Vols. You cannot afford, at this stage of year two, after losing bad games early, you cannot afford to give it all back. Because there's a chance that if you do that, meaning you go 2-2 or 1-3 down the stretch, and you do not get to a bowl game, and you finish with as bad or worse seasons to, you know, at record-wise as last year, you may never, ever get it back.
So you think he goes then into year three with no equity with the fan base, basically?
You're
short of a miracle.
You're 100% on the hot seat. Now, it doesn't mean he wouldn't do well in that situation and then all of a sudden figure out a way to win 7 or 8 games and, you know, the fan base is happy and you've shown progress in year three. You're just squarely on the getting fired was not an option in year two. Getting fired is clearly an option in year three. And if you give all this equity back in the final month, all the momentum you've built to this point of the season, it goes out the window. If you beat UAB. Let's say you lose to Kentucky and Missouri and you play Vanderbilt, you know, you beat Vanderbilt. Are people going to be excited about 5-7? Like, I don't know. So I think, again, this is just a critical stretch for Jeremy Pruitt. This is career-defining stuff in the last 4 weeks of the season here, the last 4 games for Tennessee. You win 4 of them, you win 3 of them. I think people are they get it. There's progress. There's buy-in. You can believe in the progress. You can say, man, if we just made one play against BYU, we might have won 8 games. You know, like you can start to see the clouds parting a little bit. But man, if you give it back in this last month, you may never get it. You may never get it back. So just you got to build on the momentum, and it's how critical it is against UAB tomorrow. It starts there.
Not sure about you boys, but I am totally fired up and all in on Florida Georgia tomorrow. You know, elimination game. And I'm wondering, much like I asked Josh about the psyche of Tennessee and how you handle success and prosperity, I feel like Florida-Georgia is two different stories. Like, if I'm Kirby Smart to get my – and you shouldn't have to get your guys motivated, but I'm selling the, hey, people are forgetting about us since the South Carolina game. People are down on us.
Sure.
If I'm Dan Mullen in Florida, and obviously you're already going to be up for Georgia, I'm telling my guys, dude, we've been through two wars already with Auburn and LSU. Let's just go out and play ball today.
Yeah, you could tell them that they might be beat up because of those two games.
Well, they're getting healthier now because of the bye week. They get Grenard and Tony back this week, so they'll be healthier than they've been in a long time.
I genuinely love Florida this week. That's my pick.
I'm with you.
Georgia, I mean, it's just you look at Georgia and by all metrics, I mean, offensively, defensively, they are, from an offensive standpoint, their numbers are not too far off from what they were last
year. They're good.
And they had better players last year. They were older players, and that team had been together for a few years. So you look at their numbers offensively and defensively, and they're the same, really. But for some reason, they just don't look like the same team.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on it. Fromm doesn't look like the same quarterback for some reason. Not that he's playing horrible. He just doesn't look like he's taking another step. Like you look at all the guys from last year, minus Trevor Lawrence, because I think he looks different from the standpoint of I think he's taking more chances. He believes more in his arm, so that's going to cause him to throw more interceptions. But you look at Tua, you look at Joe Burrow, you look at some of these other quarterbacks, they just look different from what they did.
Hurts, Fields.
They look different from what they did last year.
Remember what I said back in August or in July at Media Days? Where everybody said how great the Georgia offensive line is, which they are. And I brought up Ridley, Nauta, Mecole Hardman, Holy, all those skill players that Fromm lost. Everybody at Media Days, they're just going to be fine. Jake Fromm threw for 30 yards. So has Fromm regressed, or is he just doesn't have the playmakers around him?
Don't blame Media Days. You can blame me. I'm probably the one.
It was you?
Well, Media Days largely.
I thought it was Seth. Who's the guy for The Athletic that covers Georgia?
Seth Emerson.
Yeah.
Most everybody was asking the same question you were asking, and rightly so, because you just rattled off all the names. Now, Mecole Hardman's probably the only one that really, truly was a difference maker. The other guys were not overly used in the Georgia offense. So I was the one saying I think it's overblown, the loss of all the skill players, because I think they're going to be fine. Now, they're playing a bunch of freshmen, and they get the big receiver back this week.
Holloway.
They get I'm pulling a total mind melt right now. They're getting one of their best receivers back this week. He's a young kid, the freshman who made the big play against Notre Dame. He's back this week. They're 11th in the nation in yards per play on offense, so they're top 12 offense in the country. They're 9th in the country in defense. They're number they're number one in almost every major defensive statistical category in the SEC, which is not necessarily what was expected. So to your point, Derek, like they're playing, their numbers are just as good, but they just don't look like they're playing good football. To your point, Nick, about Florida. Florida looks like it's playing better football right now, and that just in a really vague sort of general description. But it's Florida-Georgia, so you have no idea what's going to happen. Georgia could win by 30 or Florida could win by 30, and I don't think anybody would be surprised by anything. It has not been a close game. I don't think it's been a one-score game since, like, 2013. It's not been a close game, but both sides have won. My quick analysis of the matchup is, you know, every position group is probably better for Georgia than it is for Florida, with the exception of the receiving core. Mm-hmm. Florida has a far better receiving core.
Yep.
Than Georgia, but probably you would take Georgia's personnel at every other position, including even corner, which is really good for Florida. And that, to me, that gives Georgia the heavy edge. Here's the other thing to consider. Dan Mullen, to me, is a step-on-your-throat, steal-your-soul head football coach during games. And Kirby Smart coaches Puckered in big games.
Yeah, he's very conservative.
There could be a difference in the coaching style in this game, and that could also be the difference as well, because trying to predict what happens in a Georgia-Florida game is you're going to go insane.
You think Kirby's just going to try to run the ball and lean on his defense?
I mean, that's sort of his MO right now. That's the identity of this team so far. But Florida, both these teams are healthier today than they were 2 weeks ago by a large margin. So both, like, health should not be a factor because Florida's getting healthier and so is Georgia. I think Jake Fromm deserves to be turned loose a little bit more, and he did that against Tennessee. But otherwise, he kind of hasn't. They didn't against South Carolina. They didn't, you know, again, exactly what you said, Derek. Maybe it's confidence. I don't know. He just doesn't look like the same guy.
Just think about this. I was just looking at it, and because I thought about it, man, Jake Fromm, his numbers, man, they are just pedestrian. I mean, considering it's Georgia and it's Jake Fromm. And UT fans are complaining about Jared Garantano. Their numbers are almost identical. I think Jared might have more passing yards. Their numbers are almost like he has two less interceptions than Jake Fromm, and he has one more touchdown than Jake Fromm. Just think about that. And UT fans, they complain about Garantano. Well, a lot of it is because of that play against Alabama. But if you look at both quarterbacks, if you take the names off the back of the jersey, well, you take the jerseys off of both guys.
Just do blind resume stats.
You would say, well, isn't Garantano, I don't know, he might look like the better quarterback, or they might look equal. That is crazy, because when we think of Jake Fromm.
Well, let's play role reversal real quick. If Jake Fromm and Jarrett Garantano flip schools right now, would Jake Fromm be a disaster at Tennessee?
No, I don't think so. Jake Fromm is the better player, but your point is totally valid.
I'm just saying, based upon numbers. Right.
So Fromm has a slight, basically they're dead even in quarterback rating, to your point, Derek. 152 for Fromm, 146 for Garantano, so basically the same. 9 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns. Garantano's got more. One more interception. They 8.1 yards per attempt for both of them, which is actually pretty good for both of them. Fromm has a much higher completion percentage at 70% versus 60, but they're basically, statistically, they've been about the same. Now, Garantano's played one more game, so you got to consider that as far as the production, the counting stats go. But I still think Fromm would be a far better. If you told me Tennessee had Jake Fromm for every game, I think Tennessee probably has an extra win or two.
Yeah, I know. I think Jake Fromm is the better quarterback.
Yeah,
but just he's a microcosm of his team.
Yeah.
They're 7-1, but they don't feel like a 7-1 team. They feel like if you didn't know, you would think, man, they lost two or three games.
Yeah.
That's the way it looked. That's the way it feels with Georgia. But then you look at the metrics. You look at this is a damn good team.
The defense. I think no one expected Kirby to rebuild the front seven very as fast as he did. Because, again, they're leading the SEC in, they're either first, second, or whatever in almost every major category defensively. Mm-hmm. So, defensively, they're very good. They're right up there with Florida and Auburn. So, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Again, it's Florida-Georgia. We're going to rail on Georgia in this segment and be like, oh, look at all these problems and Fromm's this and Fromm's that. And Georgia will go win by 30. That's how this game works. You just have no clue what's going to happen. So, I'm with you, Nick. I cannot wait because it just has total unknown written all over it.
Do you remember 2007, the cocktail party, when Georgia scored their first touchdown and Rick sent the whole players off the sideline to celebrate?
Yeah. The whole team got the penalty.
They all got flagged.
And didn't Tebow come back and win that game?
Yeah. Way to go, Mark Richt.
Yeah, he's a pretty good coach. Although, not in good health right now. Hope you're okay, Mark Richt.
Oh, yeah. That's
just, Heart attack.
Yeah.
Wild.
All right, coming up next, Titans, Panthers, who wins and why? We're going to tell you after this on Morning Drive.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.